ZBA. I'd like to get the 2015 budget hearings for April 7th, 2014 underway. First of all, I'd like to recognize who has joined us at the table today. I have our council president, Chris Bullock, council member, Sir Patrick, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street, Councilman Smiley, council member Diller, I'm Councilman John Cartier, and my legislative aide, Ryan Hummel, is taking the notes. I believe we have a number of council to approve the capital budget hearing minutes. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the minutes of the capital budget hearing have passed. I have, before we begin, I have a request from our auditor. He would like to, he's a bit of a time constraint today. He would like to indulge the body and to be able to make his presentation second after the executive budget office, if that is okay with the council members. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is everybody all right with that?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how long it is.
Thank you for that indulgence. First off, today, we have the county executive budget for fiscal year 2015, and who will be presenting today, sir?
See, Eric Grimaldi, I will.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
You have the floor and table.
Neither of which are paid for.
Before you start, I'd like to recognize that Councilman Tackett has joined us today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. If we go to the first page of the county executive's budget, we're holding at 13 positions. That is one less than last year. As you may know, we've been using an executive assistant to be the acting risk manager, so we've moved that position over. Page two, we're asking for a small 1.6% year-over-year increase. Page three, as you can see, is similar to other departments in the county. Personnel costs comprise 84% of our entire budget. Flipping to page five, diversity. As you know, diversity has been a push in this administration, and we've been leading by example. Five of the 12 positions in the executive office are minorities, or just under half. The 1.6% increase year over year reflects salary and benefit savings from moving the position and an increase of $50,000 in contractual services, increase of $22,000 in gross charges.
Okay, and one moment. I'd like to recognize that Councilman Retta is joining us at the table. Thank you.
And we have one open position, Deputy CAO. Everything else has been filled.
I'd like to recognize that Councilman Hollins has joined us.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, so I think we've gone through the meat of it. If you have any questions.
Any questions? Yes, Councilman Smiley.
I don't have a question, but I do want to make a clarification and get it out of the way early for everyone, since all we've had is the capital budget, and that is that each one of the budgets that will come before us departmentally and row offices as well is going to reflect the employee benefit cost rate of 51.3%. So I just think we need to get that out of the way now so everyone's aware that that is the benefit rate for FY 2015, that's all.
If you could, my question would be on page 10, just to briefly review the executive goals for the fiscal year.
Oh, sure.
It's sort of a good mission statement there.
We're going to support the recovery by a pledge of no tax increases. And if I can just digress, we make a strong economic argument for a lot of things that we're doing. You know, we have one variable form of revenues. We all know it's the RTT. There's two components to RTT. It's transactions and it's price. So one of the things we can do to help price along is a pledge of no tax increases, reducing crime, which the police department has done very effectively, double digits. And promoting economic development through cutting the cost of business, Southern Sewer, and our own comprehensive economic development plan. We're going to ensure the public safety units are fully staffed, promote diversity in the county workplace, continue strategic partnership and cooperation with the city of Wilmington. We're going to promote transparency and open government through ethics reform, and we've also got a new open government platform that is going to be rolled out very shortly. Restore quality of life protections through land use development code revamp is set to begin this year. Restore the infrastructure, support the local economy by reducing county contracts awards to out-of-state vendors. That's big with the county executive. You noticed, you know, his first weekend, there was about $5 million of contracts all going out of the state. So we view that as redistributing from Delaware to outside, and we want to do whatever we can to keep that in-house in the state. Promote economic development through the comprehensive economic plan. Leverage technology to maximize efficiencies. Streamline the land use process. You know, our goal is to set up a virtual one-stop shop, or perhaps a physical one-stop shop with Delta and the county. And the revitalization of the Route 9 corridor. And what we want to do is transform that area. So we'll combine community services through CDBG, public safety, increase police presence, economic development. We want to create an economic development zone and team up with the state, similar to what New York is doing. In certain areas of New York, you bring in new jobs. For 10 years, you will not pay any income tax, no property tax, no wage tax, nothing for 10 years. That's what we're competing against, so we're hoping we can continue speaking with the governor's administration. We can have them to try and get this to be the first economic development zone of this nature in Delaware.
And just a reflection on that, and I'm going to go to Councilman Smiley. The bulk of the property tax goes to school districts, 70% of it. So that's a big hurdle to kind of leap over. But, you know, that's a have at that. Councilman Smiley.
I just want to say, I have, in my own personal opinion, seen some improvements, I believe, in the last 3 to 4 months. So maybe in FY 2016 goals, it will read, continue strategic partnership and cooperation with Wilmington and members of Newcastle County Council.
Deal.
I take some where I find them. Thank you.
I'd also like to just announce that Councilman Renner will have to leave today at about 4 o'clock. Are there any other questions about the county executive budget? It's good holding costs at this rate, low rate of increase. I think it reflects, you know, good management practices. Any other questions from members of council? Any questions from members of the public? Okay.
Thank you
very much. And just to inform members of council, joined us a little late into the meeting. The county auditor asked if you go ahead and the row offices. He's got a little time crunch today. And then the members are here exceeded to that. So we're going to go to the county auditor, and then we'll have our row office budgets.
I've got a new page, a new suggested page.
Could you announce yourself for the record?
Bob Wasserbach, county auditor. Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Thank you, co-chair of the Finance Committee, Cartier, co-chair of the Finance Committee, Smiley, and other distinguished.
We are interchangeable.
Yeah, because they look something.
And other distinguished.
Let me know how you make out when you get to my house tonight.
Okay.
Thank you for allowing me to present the county office's fiscal year 2015 budget. My office's budget represents an increase of 2.55% over last year's budget. I have budgeted for a full-time position at an associate or a staff auditor level. As a result of that, going forward, I'm going to minimize the use of contractual services money to use internal auditors to assist on internal audits, which generally that rate is pay a CPA firm paying over $100 an hour.
One moment, I'd like to recognize the Councilman Powers has joined us at the table.
And please note that at the time I did my budget, which was back in December, and even now at this date, I did not know what the external audit fee was going to be for the external audit. We confirmed that audits the county's financial statements and does the audit of the federal grants the county receives. The evaluation committee is currently evaluating those proposals. I do know the top two, or the firms that have been rated 1 and 2, have fees that are reasonable. However, when I did the budget, I had no idea what the fees and the proposals were going to be. So I had the budget conservatively for contractual services, and I moved some money from part-time salaries to do that. So if we go to page 4 in the budget book, and the new page 4 I've distributed, I'm proposing a budget adjustment to move money from contractual services back to part-time salaries, which means the salaries and wages are actually going up 13.6%, whereas contractual services are going down 21.85%. But the total budget for the department is still the same.
And the 2.5% represents mostly benefits and salaries?
But the 2.5% represents mostly salaries and benefits. I'm proposing to add the new position October 1st at the earliest, which may be a little bit later. And one other thing I wanted to point out is, when I talked earlier about the external audit fees, in the RFP for the external audit, I asked the firms for proposals to give a price without internal audit assistance and a price with internal audit assistance. And all the firms came back and gave such a price. Possibly this year, and definitely next year, I plan on providing internal audit assistance to the external auditors. There's things that we can do to help them out on the external audit of the county's financial statements. And that could reduce the amount we pay the external auditors as much as $15,000 if we assist them. So going forward, this new full-time position, one of the things I'd like to have that person do is to provide assistance on the external audit to reduce the external auditing fee. I guess overall, I wasn't planning on going through page by page, but if anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. I did want to say that every year since 2007, my department has been under the budget, and it looks like projected for fiscal year 2014 will be about 8% under budget based on the March 31st numbers.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah.
Mr. Washabout.
Yes.
Yeah. We talk. You know. Not going to buck you on this. I hope to see some tweaks of what you want to do next year. I hope to see additional efficiencies and the savings be there. And I understand that this year, I made this observation last year, and I know sometimes the audits drag out, take a long while, and I appreciate the fact that the SOAR fee situation took up a lot of time this year. But I do hope that next year, at least going forward, that this council will receive one of two things, either some briefings on your audit plan and the results of some of those, or at the very least, a report as to why that's not available, to kind of keep us apprised. And I understand, you know, you get tips and everything else, but I think at the very least, council should be able to have an idea of what's going on.
Definitely.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Bob, commend you for bringing in, you know, this budget, you know, here at this time of the year, because this is when this needs to be done. We've had multiple discussions around this table, you know, all during the year, not only a budget time, on how, for the most part, willfully understaffed our audit department is for the size of government that we're, championed to run here. And obviously, the audit department is basically, you know, the keeper of the dollars there. You have to shepherd that for the most part and adequately do those audits, and you've been doing a good job. And, you know, I think as you just heard from another councilman, you know, obviously we're going to be looking to see, you know, the progress that you're going to make, and these changes definitely substantiate, you know, bringing on that extra position and being able to do a lot more with that, you know, is what you've already done, which is, has been a wonderful job with as small as you've been. So obviously we're hopefully, at least this one's not looking for status quo. We're looking for you achieving something a lot higher than what you've already done, and I think you've done a wonderful job so far. Okay.
Thank you. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I just want to mention, in case someone has forgotten, that last year Mr. Wasserbach worked with the Personnel Committee in setting up what a department would look like if and when we had the ability to grow, and I think it's because he went through the research and there was a very basic understanding of how this department would grow, that he now has the ability to come without a lot of fanfare and a lot of, you know, after-the-fact research as to how the growth will take place. So I just want to congratulate you again on what a great job you did on putting that together.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that, you know, you hit on a lot of the points in your correspondence to all council. We talk continuously at various committee meetings about the tremendous amount of grant money that the county receives through various departments. It's not just limited to public safety, community services, special service, and so forth, libraries. So I think that a little bit of adjustments and creative financing, I too feel that you and your office has done a very fine job, but I think that there's a lot more to be done, and you can't do it by yourself or with one part-timer. So I'm very supportive of the county auditor's office. I think this is one of the most critical and crucial areas of checks and balances in our county government. So keep up the good work, but I also think that you're to be commended for the fact that you were able to kind of move money's around, and at the same time, propose the additional staff that you need and everything. So, thank you. Look forward to supporting you.
If I may, you know, what I'm going to try to have everybody come to the table today, just talk a little bit about your challenges for the coming fiscal year, what you hope to take on, maybe talk a little bit about, you know, audit committee's plan for you, and just give us an idea of, you know, what the next year holds.
Well, of course, there's two new members of the audit committee. But one of the things I'm proposing, because we have had difficulty meeting our annual audit plan, I'm proposing that we do the next audit committee meeting, which is going to be end of April, beginning of May. We're proposing that we're going to do a quarterly audit plan. I think that'll keep us more focused on, and at the next audit committee meeting, we'll report on the progress of that quarterly plan, and we can also report to council. Because you're right, there, we have got involved in some things which have taken us off schedule.
Right.
I think if we do a
not without reason, plan, not without
and
reason.
The state code talks about an annual audit plan, but there's nothing to say that you can't be more restrictive and have a quarterly audit plan. And I'm excited about the two new members of the audit committee, and we'll be having our first meeting with the new members of the audit committee later this month or early May. Of course, my office is responsible for coordinating the annual audit of the financial statements and the single audit of the federal grants and the audit of the pension fund financial statements. And work closely with finance to assure those audits are productive. We do have the fraud, waste, and abuse hotline, although I think we need to work on ways to publicize that more. I think when it first came out, there was a public meeting and the newspaper was there, this big newspaper article. I don't know if citizens still remember, if citizens and employees still remember that we have that fraud, waste, and abuse hotline.
We got a couple of questions. Councilman Smiley and Councilman Patrick.
No, I was just going to say, just like any other level of government, you need one good indictment. It's the only thing that publicizes it. They're not going to print it otherwise.
Councilman Patrick.
And I think she was getting ready to volunteer.
I don't think I'd do well in jail. I'm sorry. Yeah, this was probably for Mr. Grimaldi. Is the hotline on our website? You got a hotline?
It's Sierra Grimaldi, yeah, it is.
Okay. Thanks.
One of the things I have in the challenges is I'd like to talk to the administration. I don't know if you've heard of the concept of enterprise risk management, which is called ERM. A lot of organizations, I don't know how many governments have that, but I know in the private sector, a lot of entities have enterprise risk management, where the departments really think about what are the risks in our department, what are the things that keep us awake at night, what are the things that can go wrong. And the departments think about, do we have controls in place to mitigate those risks? Now, a big part of my job in doing internal audits is to think about risks and think about controls in place. But I'm sure departments are doing that themselves now. But I've thought about maybe working with Mr. Grimaldi and maybe implementing something more formal throughout the county government. Thank you very much.
Any other questions from members of council, comments? Any questions from the public? Thank you, Mr. Wasserbach. That's our Council Goldman. Now we're going to move on to our row office budgets. First in line, Clerk of Peace, Mr. Bolden.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
How are you? I'd also like to introduce my dear friend, the Chief Deputy Tom Caviello, who will bring any clarity necessary to whatever's going on here. The numbers before you, well, quite frankly, they are what they are. They represent a continuing effort to do more with less, to continue to cut costs and raise revenue. And the good news is that year after year, we find that we're successful in doing just that. The only increases you see each year are those that are mandated by employee benefits and things like that. The things that I do want to bring to your attention here are very minor in nature, but I do want the numbers before you to be accurate. Right now, the budget proposed before you shows a position for a clerk typist on my staff. That position is currently being evaluated for a reclassification through HR. I do not foresee any obstacle. Quite frankly, the individual has been doing the work of an account card clerk, of an account clerk one for quite some time. And as a matter of equity, I fully suspect that in the next budget, that position will be reclassified as an account clerk one. And there will not be a clerk typist in my office. Now, having said that, I want to talk more about the challenges that face us as we wrap up this fiscal year. The most pressing challenge is the conversion of some civil unions to marriage. As mandated by law, all civil unions that were sanctioned in the state of Delaware will be, quote, automatically considered marriage on July 1. However, there is a process that takes place to do that, a conversion process mandated by law. It's just not a click of a switch. There's a lot of paperwork and processing that needs to take place between the various counties, and the Bureau of Vital Statistics. It has been a massive effort in trying to accomplish that. To give you some sort of sense as to what we're facing here, so far we have converted approximately 200 civil unions into marriage. That leaves us approximately 100 more to do by June 30. We have sent letter after letter, made phone call after phone call, and we now have a very aggressive program where we're reaching out to these individuals to finish and conclude this conversion process. That includes approximately 60 same-sex couples in Delaware and 20 same-sex couples from as far away as California that we need to process. The problem is a lot of these couples from out of state apparently have relocated since they've been married here in Delaware, and we're trying to find them. It is a very tedious task that we are documenting every step that we take, contacting witnesses, family members, and some other means. The crunch time is going to be really the last 6 weeks of this fiscal year. And in that regard, my very small staff, or because of my staff, excuse me, because of my small staff, I have had to reach out to the executive office for some assistance. I've communicated with both the county executive and the assistant CAO, deputy CAO, and asked, okay, I beg for a summer intern to help us work through this process, or we will not be able to meet the mandate at all. I have received assurances that they will do everything possible to accommodate us so that we can supplement our staff to try to meet these goals so that we don't end up running afoul of what we are mandated to do by law. I am hopeful that that will happen as soon as practical when they come on board, and that we will be working and doing everything possible to locate every one of these couples to get that process completed. One bit of good news is that as marriages, traditional marriages and same-sex marriages, continue to drop in every jurisdiction across this country and in the United States, Newcastle County, for some reason, well, because of the same-sex marriages last year, did more, and we are on, we have a small spike upwards because of the same-sex marriages. The good news is that means a spike in revenue also. So it has been a major producer of revenue for us for the last year or so. We've hit a plateau. Things have flattened out. I think the spike's gone. I think it will be constant. I don't see a downfall, but I don't see the rise that we experienced when the law first took place. Next year, we are going to be facing the challenge of educating the public that Delaware doesn't have civil unions anymore. That it's not an option. It's not an either or. We only have marriage. And so you will know, in case you're ever asked, a marriage license is a marriage license. We don't have one marriage license that looks one way for same-sex couples and one for traditional opposite-sex couples. Every marriage license is identical. We don't have a marriage certificate that is different for one or the other. There's uniformity across every form, across every entry, every database, every system that we have in place. And it's because of that conscientious effort to do so, to avoid any problems at the state or federal level that we've been recognized for the system that we put in place, which is why NACO is reaching out to us and asking us to be the model and explain to other jurisdictions now facing some of those challenges, to explain to them how we did it, what it cost, when we did it, what the steps were, so that their transition will hopefully be a lot easier for them and a lot more cost-effective. So it is my hope to go to NACO, as I do each year, this year as a delegate for Newcastle County, and be running a round table for people that do what I do all over the country, who are now contacting our office saying, tell us what you did, tell us how you did it, what were the challenges, what were the time constraints, what sort of systems did you put in place, what do we have to watch out for at the state level, what do we have to watch out at the local level, at the federal level. We overcame all of those obstacles. The transition was seamless. It was flawless. So I would not be surprised if NACO recognizes us for that achievement when they hold their national conference this year. I'll entertain any questions.
Are there any questions, comments from members of council? Yes, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ken, you have this mandate to do this conversion to marriage. But it seems to me that a lot of this depends upon the participation of the folk that are in these relationships. So you can't do a 100% conversion without 100% participation. So how are you held accountable for those people who decide they don't want to be?
Well, you used the word that you just used is the key, accountable.
Right.
I have to account for each one of them. Some of them have been absolved, disillusioned by the courts. Some of them got civil unions in Delaware and got married in another state. Some of them are widows or widowers already. Some of them are in the process of having a disillusion. There are all sorts of variables.
Right. Some of them don't want to be bothered.
Perhaps one of the partners is deployed.
Right.
So there are all sorts of challenges. But as long as I can account for every single couple and where they are in the process and why, then we can continue to guide them through the conversion process. In other words, automatic means that in Delaware, that civil union will be considered a marriage. But they will have no documentation.
Right.
They will have nothing, whether it's for federal tax purposes, probate tax purposes, or any other legal reason, to show that they are legally married,
right,
without our assistance. So as long as we can track what's going on in their lives, we can continue to help them. And we'll get that panic call at 5 o'clock on a Friday evening saying, holy cow, guess what we forgot to do, and I need it by tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
I guess my question is more to that 2% of the people who you've reached out to and just refuse, for whatever reason, that they do not want to move forward with this conversion, they're not going to respond to you, you have no authority to impose upon them to respond. So what do you do with that 2% or 1%?
We document their response.
A non-response.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're basically saying is that we, as the issuing agency, has done everything within our power, beyond, above and beyond, to accommodate the conversion process. And the fact that they have not converted is their choice and not our fault. And that's the key.
Thank you.
Councilmember Dillon, do you have a question?
Yes. Mr. Bolden, I've gotten several questions from constituents about the rise in fees after July 1st.
Yes.
Is that related to your need to be accountable on the conversion?
Absolutely.
And push?
Absolutely. There are costs involved.
Right.
There are processing and administrative costs and fees involved in tracking and doing all of this. It's not a free ride.
Right.
So we have set up a system that says get in early, save your money. The more work and effort you put on us, the more money we've got to spend, the more I've got to charge it.
Right.
And that's the reason.
It
says it's automatic. It doesn't say it's free.
Okay, but I guess what I'm understanding now is because you're under a mandate to get these conversions, or at least be accountable for why people aren't doing the conversion, that's why you're trying to get people in early, in order to at least be able to be accountable, and that was the carrot.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm getting this now.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
But
this is very helpful.
It's a two-sided coin, mm-hmm. or a carrot in your case. Number one, it'll encourage them, hopefully, to mm-hmm. do so. But number two, if the longer they wait in to do so or not, the more it works, the more work it puts on us. And when we do that work, an additional effort at an additional expense, I've got to find a way to pay for it.
Got it.
It's the only responsible way to manage it.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Any other questions, Councilman Bell?
Not a question, just a comment. It doesn't surprise me one bit that other areas of the country are looking towards Ken's shop, his leadership, we're really blessed here in Newcastle County, I believe, to have outstanding row officers and offices. And Ken does a tremendous job, continues to do a tremendous job, and I think he's. I've never seen anybody as committed to his job responsibilities as Ken Bolden. So.
Thank you very much.
Well said.
Thank you.
I'd like to add a comment to that as well. I would say in the history of the Clerk of the Peace Office, there's been no more momentous time with the marriage equality coming on board. And now we've got the transition from the civil union to marriage equality. And it's a tribute to the leadership and the experience of our Clerk of the Peace Corps and the manager.
And Chief Deputy.
And all of the staff and the team, everybody there who participates in this. They've done a great job with it for an office that does perfect. And dedication and leadership.
And just as a matter of record, with the business done, I thought about not doing this at all, and I thought about doing it in other ways, but the fact of the matter is that being direct is often the easiest way. On March 1st, I had a heart attack in the middle of the night. They took me to the hospital under a cardiac code, somehow saved my wretched old life, and after several days in ICU and in the hospital, they sent me home on the 12th to come back. Clear what was, I had 100% blockage on this side and do a 70 to 75% blockage on the left. I went back in, they cleared that. While I was in recovery, I had a stroke. I lost the use of my life. I lost the use of my left side and my speech. I have regained most of my speech. I had little intermittent stumbles, but it is, I'm not as articulate as I was, but I'm 95% better than I was a month ago. I can walk now, and I've regained the use of most of my left side, with the exception of my left hand. So they're telling me that will be fine in another month. I believe them, because I can now have sensation in the blood. So I have a very bright outlook. I think everything will be fine. And, good news is I'll be around to bother you for a few more years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Next, Recorder of Deeds.
Well, good afternoon, Council. Co-Chair Smiley, Co-Chair Cartier, President Bullock, colleagues, senior staff, citizens of Newcastle County. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge I have two of my office administrators with me today, Renee Boyle and Ed Dale.
Could you identify yourself for the record, sir?
Yes, Michael Kozakowski.
Thank you.
Well, I think, Council, one of the things that I wanted to present to you today, and as you know, and as we've done in the past, is that our focal concentration in the Recorder of Deeds office has been putting the customer first, which is impeccable customer service, striving for continuous improvement, and most importantly, fiscal responsibility. The budget that we are introducing for FY 2015, for the ROD, is 0.72% less than the one that we introduced last year. The cost incurred by the county would be $2,249,000. The revenue that we're anticipating that will generate is $6,892,000. Now, one of the things that I really want to elaborate on is that we have learned how to do more with less. As you're all well aware, February 10th of 2014, we launched electronic recording. What this does is it provides our customers with a third alternative in delivering their documents. They can continue to walk, mail, or they can now do them electronically. So instead of launching all the doc types that we have that we do record, we started off with assignments and satisfactions. As of Friday, since the launch of February the 10th, we have recorded 509 documents electronically. The assignments, which makes up about 24% of our doc type under that category. Satisfactions were right around 12%. So what we're seeing, it'll be a movement over the next 5 to 10 years. We will see most of the documents that will be, the majority of these documents that will be coming in, will be probably electronic. That's the wave, that's the move, that's what pretty much we're seeing across the country. Our staffing numbers are the same as they've been for the last 3 years, 27. And as you all well know, that I always finish with the budget that I'm introducing today is $361,000 less than the one that I introduced in 2008. But I have a little bit more for you. It's a number, but I wanted to see where that number came from. You know, by looking at our pie chart, that 87% of the ROD budget is wages and benefits. The next lion's share, or part of that, 10%, is from contractual services and intergovernmental services. The chart that we're presenting, that's up on the screen, we did projection all the way back to 2002. Take a look at these two line items. And I do have handouts for you to take at your leisure for the review. But I wanted to point out to you, this is where the actual resources came from, of unexpended funds that have been returned to the general fund, but more importantly, how frugal and fiscally responsible we've been. That we've been with those two line items from 2002 to 2009. From 2002 to 2009, our average budgeted amount of those two line items was $650,000. From 2002 through 2009, what our actual was $513,000. What I wanted to emphasize is that if it wasn't for the vision sitting down with the executive branch of government back in 2004 and try to help grow our information systems department, by doing that, what we've done is we've eliminated a vendor. And back in 2004, when this was proposed, the general rule of thumb across the country is counties the size of Newcastle County were utilizing vendors because they knew that the vendors were able to provide them the type of customer service that they were looking for. So the agreement that I had with Ron Marks, who was the chief financial officer back in 2000, is that what we will do is we'll give IS the opportunity to see if they can provide the type of customer service that the real estate industry deserves. But guess what? They did, and we were successful. And IS has grown. But not only that, what we've done is reduced those two line items. When you look at the next pie chart down, the next bar chart down, you'll see that from 2010 to 2013, how these numbers have dropped. Our average budgeted number for those two line items was $285,000. The actuals were $252,000. If you take a look at 2012 and 2013, you'll see how close the two are in relationship of what we've actually had budgeted and what we spent. But when you look at 2002 through 2009, you see a major transition. And the reason behind that is that one of the caveats that I said to Mr. Morris was that what happens if IS cannot perform what we are looking for with customer service? It was agreed that the monies for the budgeted vendor would be kept in the budget. So every year we were returning money back to the general fund. So from 2002 through 2013, that's where we've been able to return $1.1 million from those two line items. So fiscal responsibility, I do get it. I understand it. I know how important it is. But I've been blessed with such a dynamic staff that not only they do get it, they understand how a government entity can operate like a successful private sector business. Customer service. And that's what we're all about. And that concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Any questions, comments from members of council? I guess it's good to see that it does seem like we are continuing to trend upward in revenue, although it seems like we're dipping from 2013. I don't know if you could comment on what direction you see the real estate market going on.
Well,
from
your
experience.
I can. Thank you, Councilman. Until we start seeing a reduction in foreclosures, property values will start to climb. But also, I think you recognize it's something that we're doing here in county government that really is on the cutting edge. And that's with our public safety department, with the TAPS program. And of course, you're aware of the new program that they're going to implement, the NC4 Street Smart, which is predictive, where they can actually look at focusing on those developments. And what happens when you reduce crime in a development? Property values will begin to climb. So I see what the big picture is. And by all of us working together through fiscal responsibility, also having the pulse of the customer, which is the real estate industry on my end, and providing those consistencies that they're looking for. I look forward to, hopefully in the near future, very, very near future, once we have a few little glitches that we need to resolve on the administrative side, where we're looking at launching more doc types. Because now that the primary business organizations see that we're e-recording in Newcastle County. And just to show you how fast this is growing, I believe we're up to about 75 filers, customers that are now electronically recording assignments and SATs. That number is going to grow once we add mortgages. But my senior staff's aware of, I mean, as you noticed, there was no issues, no chaos when we launched e-recording. And the reason for that is that my senior staff was aware that we're not launching anything until I have total consensus. Because I don't want anyone to feel like they're under pressure that we have to get this done on a certain date. Let's make it right, and that's when we go to launch it, it's smooth. And we have clear throughput. But on the real estate end, it is what it is, okay? Pretty much the industry is determined by foreclosures, also is determined by how accessible the money is that the lenders are going to provide for those that are interested in buying property. So there's a lot of invariables that impact it, but Delaware seems to be at the lower end in regards of property values going up. And I do believe a lot of that has to do with the foreclosures, but it's definitely on an upswing. So hopefully our numbers will be like the past couple years, that revenue was actually higher than what we actually presented to council.
Okay, any other questions, comments from members of council of the Court of Deeds? Councilman Filler.
Mr. Kosakowski, I'd just like to thank you for your leadership in the technology end of things. I mean, having served as the co-chair of the technology subcommittee, I know that you were able to come before us a number of times to give us updates as well as information, and really appreciate your leadership in all of that. Thank you.
And, you know, as I pointed out before, thank you, Councilwoman. As I pointed out before, you know, the technology fund was created to provide those improvements in the ROD, but we've seen it grow, okay, tremendously. It's well over $800,000we brought in since 2005. Here is an opportunity, and I can see, as long as we have the resources available to provide those upgrades that's necessary for our primary business organizations in the industry, but I don't foresee us upgrading our software until our vendor, which is the only vendor that we do have, it's DTS, will prove to my senior staff that it's worth the bang for the buck. So as long as that money's there, that money's available for those other offices that are want to get ahead and launch technological initiatives. It's one way that the ROD will help.
Any other questions, comments by members of council? Okay, anybody from the public? All right, I want to thank you for your testimony today, and keep up the good work. And,
thank you, everyone.
Making revenue for the county and keeping the cost down. Moving along, Register of Wills. Welcome to the table, Mr. Poppity.
Yes, Ciro Poppity, the Register of Wills. Good afternoon, members of council. All right. Yes. Happy to be alive, right, council?
We need something.
I just would like to acknowledge, as I start, the courage of my colleague, Ken Bolden. Every Wednesday, Ken and I have lunch together, and he has been an incredible mentor to me these past 3 years. And to be truthful, it hasn't been the same Wednesday now that he has been recuperating and doing his physical therapy. He is a great example of the baby boom generation, a great example that despite medical health interruptions, we can lead healthy lives and still be very, very productive. And I look forward to serving with Ken as a fellow rural office for many years to come. So I wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you.
The numbers before you for the Register of Wills are virtually the same as last year. I did want to say a few thank yous. I want to thank council. First of all, you were kind enough to pass some resolutions in the past month, which we do appreciate. But I want to go back and thank you because 3 years ago when I appeared before you, I asked you for some help in terms of personnel, help in terms of fee changes, that we could tackle the old estates. Okay. On May 6th, I will be giving a full report to the county on what I call Operation Backlog, which is going back to the year 2000 and working forward on those old estates. Okay. I will tell you the final numbers then on May 6th, but I'll give you a look ahead. Since we began working on it 3 years ago, we have closed over 600 of the old estates, which has resulted in over $1 million in essentially found money for Newcastle County, okay? It also means roughly that there were $100 million in assets floating out there that were yet accounted for to the beneficiaries. So it's not just real money into the county, but it's also real service to the beneficiaries. I want to thank my staff who is here, Virginia Gokul, Chief Deputy, Tracy Henn, our office manager, because I really put too much on them. In addition to the regular jobs, we've been working on this operation backlog. And coincidentally, we have 3,000 estates left to go. Okay, so it's almost a second job for them working on this. In addition, tomorrow we begin year 4 of evening hours in Middletown. And when Ciro can't be there, it's either Virginia or Tracy who are working the evening hours, meeting with the public. Over 3 years, we have worked on over 150 different cases in Middletown. And we're not going to stop, Councilman Bell, Councilman Powers, we're going to still be there. And tomorrow begins year 4. So thank you to everyone. I love what I do. I hope to be doing it for many years to come.
Any questions, comments from members of council? Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I want to applaud you and your staff. Fortunately, since the first of the year, I've had need to do will and estate research in Delaware as well as several of the surrounding states in multiple different people and families, and hands down, Newcastle County's got it all over the others for response time, information availability, and just basically, to put it bluntly, knowing how in the hell their office works. So I applaud you.
Thank you.
And when your staff gets ready to retire, trust me, there's a lot of areas surrounding us that could use the help. So I applaud you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from members of council? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Sarah mentioned, the services that are being provided down in the MOT area, south of the canal, I still cover a lot of area north of the canal. But I can tell you, it really is a breath of fresh air to have this government provide some services south of the canal where folks religiously have had to, everything they do has had to come up to the northern part of the county. And so I think it's worked well. It's very appreciated by the citizens that we deal with, Bill and I. And we've heard from folks that are very appreciative of Ciro and his staff and the job you're doing. So,
Councilman Powers.
I just want to say ditto. And really, your office has been real responsive to anything we've ever brought to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Councilman Beretta.
Thank you. On a personal note, his staff helped out a lot on my end. And with Ciro coming in, he just added to the cause. Because I know how he works. I know his family. So it's a pleasure working with you.
Thank you. Feel the same.
Any other comments, members of council, questions? I'd just like to also add my compliments to your leadership and all your team in your office for your dedication and your commitment, not only to, you know, trying to address the backlog of states, which is an awesome task, but also, you know, extending out to folks in southern Newcastle County and being available to offer this very critical service, which is fraught with a lot of hurdles and paperwork, and I'm sure that it's been appreciated by those folks, reducing the travel time, making it more convenient. So it's a great thing you're doing there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any other questions, members of council? Any comments, questions from the public? Thank you very much. Next on the agenda, Sheriff's Office. Best for last?
Last, but maybe least, I don't know.
Mr. Chair, can we take a 30-minute recess?
Yeah, jeez.
Oh, that last year, didn't
it? Didn't work then either.
You need some new material.
Somebody more cooperative.
Yes, sir. Please identify yourself for the record.
Sheriff Trinidad Navarro. It's a pleasure to be here today. It's really great to work with a great group of row officers, and I am honored to finish up and wrap this up today. I'm not going to go line through line. There's just a couple things that I want to touch in my budget, starting on page 3. And it's just the first couple pages, I promise, not to go page by page, but there's some things on that road I want to touch on. As you can see, our recommended budget for 2015 is only about a half a percent higher than last year, and it's about $12,000 less than 2013. On page 4, what we're seeing from 2012, which was our actual revenue, which was about $7.5 million, we're estimating that our budget or our revenue this year will be about $5 million. And I know that's significant, because of the new legislation that makes it more difficult to foreclose on properties now, we're selling fewer and fewer properties. That coupled with what the Attorney General's office has done and the cooperation with folks in my office, who unfortunately have been accused of giving legal advice at times to people who just want to know what they can do. You know, when the house is sold, they have to move out, and they lost everything. And folks in the office have been trained on, you know, what to tell people. And just as recently, just last couple of days, I received a nasty letter from a lawyer essentially accusing us of practicing law without a license. Because they're telling people that they don't have to get out the day of the sale. I mean, we're telling people they don't lose everything if they don't get their things out. And we've had to deal with some unfortunate circumstances with these individuals that are getting into people's houses too early. So I'm going to continue to do what we do. My staff is going to continue to do what we do. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure there are other lawyers in the room. It's not providing legal advice when you tell people what their rights are. And so we will continue to do that. But we point out our revenue and expenditures, it is significantly less than it was just a few years ago. And that's because the good news is we're selling fewer homes. On page 5, you'll see that 94% of our costs are personnel costs and intergovernment services. So we really run the office on about 6% of our budget. That's everything from pens and paper and just the day-to-day costs of running the office. On page 6, what you'll see is we're recommending it to add a position back into the office. Back in 2012, we had 21 folks in the office staff. Back then, it was determined that we could put in an intern into the office to save money. Well, an intern didn't work out, so we hired 2 part-timers to keep up with the demand in the office, and that didn't work out. And Mr. Wasserbach left, but he determined that having those individuals as a part-time basis or an intern basis was actually a weakness in our audit. So one of the things that we're proposing is to add a position back into the office. If you look at the bottom line, that's the 0.51% difference in our increase from our fiscal 14 to fiscal 15, you'll see that it's essentially a wash. So that position will be used to do things that were determined by the auditor that are critical, and we agree, in the office. The rest of the budget basically is just the numbers, the book. I'm not going to go over it, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, I think that we look at our row officers, our sheriff, and his staff, his office, do a tremendous job here in New Castle County. It's refreshing to hear a county service that in Trini's area, a lot of time is looked upon by folks as having to execute things that others really wouldn't want to have to do. But it's refreshing to hear that we're out there trying to reassure people and help them, even during one of our worst economic nightmares in our country and our county. But I want to touch on, you know, the part-time. I think that it only makes sense to have a full-time position. And, you know, I think when you look at the end of the day, the dollars and cents, there's not much of a difference here. And I think the end result will be that the sheriff will have a full-time staff person that, you know, that's there to assist the office. And last but not least, I want to thank the sheriff and thank the administration for, I believe this year, we're looking at replacing, and we brought it up quite a few years in a row, but to begin replacing the antiquated fleet that the sheriff's office has. And I believe you folks have chose to go over to a Chevy Impala rather than a police package type.
The Ford that the police department uses now is about $30,000, and it's not outfitted with lights and radios and things like that. We chose a Chevy Impala. Oh, not to mention the Ford has a big V8. It has all the power, it's all-wheel drive. It has things that we don't necessarily need in the sheriff's office. So we chose the Chevy Impala, which was part of the state bid, and it is about $6,000 to $7,000 cheaper than the Ford that the police department currently drives. And we've test-driven the car. It's a four-cylinder, it's bare bones, it's, but it is a 2014, so it has the better fuel economy, it has better technology. So, you know, we talked about this several years now, and we're going to get four new cars this fiscal year and three additional next year.
Okay. Councilman Holman and Councilman Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank Sheriff Quinney for my appreciation for him informing county residents of their rights during the foreclosure process, and encourage you to continue to do that. There are banks, there are lawyers who will challenge you in that manner, but I think you have the legal right to do it. I'm not an attorney, but I know that there are certain rights that property owners do have, and oftentimes those rights are abused by those who are trying to make a profit. But even though the numbers are going down for the sales, I think it's in the government's best interest to keep homeowners in homes, and it's going to be a greater benefit. It stabilizes the neighborhoods, it helps people to maintain their property, and also put those properties back on the tax rolls in a realistic way. So I think it's to our benefit that these particular numbers are going down, because other numbers are going up. And one of the other things I've learned that banks are doing in a lot of different jurisdictions is that they're very slow on transferring of the titles, and it's something I'm working on, because oftentimes our code officers would go out and cite a property. We were actually citing a property owner who no longer owned the property, because the bank has refused to take ownership. So that's the real issue across the country. And I think when I talk to our code enforcement officers here in Newcastle County, it's an issue here as well. So I applaud you for doing that. And I haven't forgotten that you're the person who came on board and actually discovered this pool of money that we used to advance the property maintenance for senior citizens. So I just want to thank you for the job that you're doing.
Thank you very much. If I could just add, after each sale, oftentimes it's what's called excess proceeds, meaning that there's monies left over after we paid taxes, after we paid lawyers' fees, after we paid off mortgages. And we have, our office has returned well over $100,000 to people who really thought that all was lost. They didn't know that they had money coming back to them. And I can't speak for other sheriffs in other parts of the state and country, but I've had people contact me or mention to me that I don't know anyone else is doing this. And the challenge is to find people, and then for them to believe you that we're actually returning money that's owed to them. I returned just recently somewhere around $30,000 to a man who thought all was lost. So it's a terrible, terrible set of circumstances, but I would much rather return the money to people who are the rightful owners rather than go back to the pathontary's office or to the state of Delaware. That's one of the best parts of my job.
Yes, Councilman Powers, do you have—
Yes.
And Councilman.
Partly what I was going to say, he said, and I think it's good you're doing that, as he said. I wish we had more information ahead of time, because I've had the same thing that Councilman Hollins has said, where the banks call the people and they get out of the house. They ought to stay in that house as long as they can, because then code enforcement comes back, things aren't maintained. We're having, if they're not going through with a sheriff for foreclosure, it's being charged against the person that doesn't really have anything anyway. The other question I had is, how many vehicles do you have?
Right now, 10.
10.
We're going to keep one Crown Victoria, because we do have to transport people from time to time when it's court order. We don't arrest people, but when we have a court order issued from a judge, we have to pick people up, do civil commitments, things like that. So we're going to keep one of those cars. And then we're going to try to get a couple of the cars from the police department that are the transition into new vehicles. So so we didn't want to go out and just get 10 brand new cars. We figured we were going to need the police car because of the size for transporting prisoners, and then we're going to try to get the two other vehicles as well.
I think that's, you know, that's good. Should be able to help on fuel somewhere along the line. But with the other thing, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, banks and lawyers, good luck. they're trying to take, you know, some of the things they've done, I just don't think are right.
You know? I agree.
Councilman Street.
Generally, the lawyers come running to you and go complain about you practicing law without a license, it means you're being effective. one of the answers to that is, well, what are you going to do, just bar at the end of the day, I would hope, and I hope the administration and the Attorney General's office, I hope you share that correspondence with them, because one, part of the law, as I understand it, is a responsibility that every office has to provide information, what you're obviously doing. And two, when somebody wants to be overzealous like that and try to push their weight around because they're an attorney, you match fire with fire, and perhaps the county attorney and or the Attorney General should respond to that and say, you know, maybe we need to look at sending you to the disciplinary council, because apparently you're saying something that you're not authorized to say, while our sheriff's office is obviously doing its job and doing its due diligence and providing information to people as I think the duty down allows it really to provide. So keep up the good work and fight fire with fire.
I think, you know, it almost seems as if you were in my office the other day. And I say that because that's essentially what I said to the attorney who represents the sheriff's office, is that, you know, we're just getting one law firm's complaining, and there's plenty of other law firms that handle these real estate transactions, but I have one law firm who represents these investors who have been documented where they've gone into houses before they were supposed to. They went in and stole property, and they said it went to the dump. It's the same group, it's the same law firm, and I have a real problem with them. I want it to go to the press. My attorney said, well, let's do our response first, but to me, what they're asking to do, or what they're trying to do, is criminal.
Yes, Councilman Bell.
Go ahead. I'll yield to
Councilman Street.
Which means you probably need to add the U.S. Attorney's Office to that list of folks who should look into. I'm sorry, Councilman.
No, you don't have to be sorry at all.
Councilman Bell.
Mr. Chairman, you know, we've all advocated the replacement and upgrading of the vehicles for a number of years in the budget, and I think we're all very pleased to hear, you know, with the Impalas replacing the standard day-to-day operations, maybe we can finish that out next year. But the one thing I do take deference to, and that is that when we look at our county police department, they have the best of the best. And this council has been extremely supportive. I don't think the sheriff's department deserves any less. So rather than next year and a year after, operating with some dilapidated older Crown Vicks that the police won't even drive anymore, maybe we should look towards providing a few all-weather type Tahoes to be added to the fleet of the sheriff's department, because they operate in adverse weather. They still have to do their job. So I think the move to go with the Chevy Impala is a good, it's fiscally responsible, it's a good move. But I think when you start talking about operating in adverse weather, transporting prisoners and everything else, it wouldn't hurt for us to take a look at, you know, maybe trading them old Crown Vicks off, as the county police is doing, with a few Tahoes.
Point well taken.
Yeah, the Impalas are front-wheel drive. And the two vehicles I referenced are, I think they're Fords. And as most of you, I'm sure you know, the police department's going to Tahoe's. So the other all-wheel drive vehicles, those are the two specifically that we wanted to try to target because, as you said, we do drive in adverse weather, just like the Nomad.
Any other questions, comments from members of council and the sheriff's office? I just like to make one a couple observations or comments. Sheriff Navarro has been our sheriff in truly turbulent, terrible times in residential housing in New Castle County. And I got to tell you, I've taken a lot of reassurance from the fact that you're a humane person. You try to look out for people in a very difficult moment, you know, returning excess funds to folks like that. And thankfully, it does seem that the foreclosure mediation program has made a dent in the amount of foreclosure setups that your office is having to do. So that's been something that's given us some relief on that. And I appreciate you submitting a budget with a small increase. And I guess my only question is, reading through your challenges for the year, you mentioned in here the increase in civil actions you're serving. And what explains that? Do you have, what is the main motivator? It's a 27% increase in our non-real estate civil actions.
There's lots of variables. It could be everything from you not paying your credit card to you paying a contractor and not fulfilling your duties, or vice versa. So we handle all the documents that come out of court, of common pleas, chancery court, superior court. So depending on which court is responsible for which lawsuit, those documents still have to be filtered through our office. So foreclosures and mortgages are down, but the civil, it could be a variety of cases. It could be, we get boxes sometimes for asbestos cases. It's just, it just depends on the type and nature of the cases, but there we have seen a significant increase, about 25 or 27% more.
Okay. Councilman Street.
Councilman Carty, I think you made a critical point that I should have made, and I just want to carry it one step further. You know, in this period of foreclosures, and you got unprecedented numbers of foreclosures, and the highest number in my district, in the county, and in the city, we haven't had folks come in here doing a war dance, talking about what the sheriff's office has done. We haven't had a big old scandal, a big melee. Nobody's gotten hurt. And that's not easy to do.
Knocking on wood, sir.
That's not easy to do. Yeah. When you're walking in talking about, you got to get out of your house. So obviously, you and other sheriffs and your staff know what they're doing. And obviously, you're showing some compassion when the things I just said that did not happen will certainly be happening. And so I appreciate, you know, I wouldn't like your job, I wouldn't like the sheriff's job, but I appreciate the fact that you are doing your job and doing it well. So thank you very much.
Thank
all of
you. Are there any further comments, questions from members of council? Any comments, questions from members of the public? All right. Thank you, Mr. Sheriff, Trinidad Navarro, and thank you for your report.
Thank you, sir.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Yeah. Aye.
The budget hearing is closed. Adjourned.